So have you ever felt lonely or scared? Anybody? Yeah, if you're a human being, most likely you have. So then you can relate to how Alice felt when she found herself in a strange land in Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There by Lewis Carroll. And when Alice found herself in this strange land and she was feeling lonely and scared, she did something that maybe all of us have done too. She dwelled on her thoughts and feelings about how scared she was and how lonely she felt. And as she did so, the fear intensified. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah. We know how to intensify things. Keep that in mind, because we can make it work in either direction. So while Alice was crying, the wise queen appeared. And the wise queen told Alice she had no need to cry whatsoever, and that she certainly should stop feeling sorry for herself. Well, she got Alice's attention, and Alice started to just kind of sniffle the after cry. And the wise queen says to her this, she gives her some advice. She says, "Consider what a great girl you are. Consider what a long way you've come. Consider what o'clock it is. Consider anything." In other words, shift your attention onto something more positive, or at least something more neutral, and everything will change. And then the queen exclaimed that she was 101 years old, 5 months and 1 day old. And Alice said, "I can't believe that. One can't believe impossible things." And then the queen said, "Well, I dare say you haven't had much practice." She says, "When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. In fact, sometimes I believed 6 impossible things before breakfast." So the queen's habit then of thinking about impossible things for 30 minutes a day might have even fed into the fact that she was now 101 and counting, right? And also, it feeds into the fact that we can have, like the queen, and like what she was suggesting to Alice, a faith workout every day. To build that muscle, to raise up our faith, to think about what is possible instead of what we think is impossible. What is the truth of who we are instead of all the lack and limitation that we internalize and talk to ourselves about and that we see around our world and then reflect it back, right? So the queen's habit leads us into what we're talking about for the next 12 weeks, which is the 12 powers of humankind, but this time seen through the lens of healing and prosperity. And you know, Unity's whole foundation is about healing and prosperity. If it all kind of boils down to the doingness, the action piece, the thinking piece, the praying piece of what New Thought is all about, it has the flavor of both healing and prosperity in it. From the very beginning of Unity, that was the case. Our founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, healed their bodies when the doctors said nothing more can be done. And they went to work internally, working with the power of faith, and healed themselves. They also had a dream to create what it is that they were being guided to create, which then one day while Charles was meditating, that the name of our movement popped in, Unity, and so that's why we're called Unity. And they began to, they made that covenant with Spirit that we will continue this spiritual work and we trust everything will be taken care of for us. All of our needs will be taken care of. That's a very prosperous thought. That's a very prosperous place to stand on. And even during the Great Depression, Unity continued to evolve and build and grow. So prosperity and healing, we come by that honestly, as they say. And Unity sprang forth then from a mighty faith, as along with 11 other spiritual abilities or powers that we develop along the way. So So let's start with this one faith. What is faith? What is faith to you? We all have maybe a slightly different definition of it, but it all kind of comes out in a wholeness. Do you have any, as you take a moment to reflect on that, any thoughts about what faith is? You feel free to say them out loud. Kindness. Surrender. Trust in the divine. Certainty. Belief in something unseen or unproven. Yeah. God will take care of it. Yeah. It's just like the 9:30. I feel like my work is done here. Probably the folks online have some really smart ideas as well, and the people outside, so welcome to all of you as well. So, yeah, very similar to that last one we heard in Hebrews also, it's described as faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. My own definition of faith is a sense of knowing in my heart. When I feel like I'm really grounded in that kind of knowing in my heart, then I feel like I'm in that space of faith. We know that something exists in faith before it appears in the manifest world. We know it because it starts in our mind, and faith is situated there in the mind. We'll talk a little bit more about the location in a few moments. So while it can move and settle into the heart, into that sense of knowing, it really starts in the mind with the power of thought. In your God-given potential, by Winifred Wilkinson Houseman, she says this about faith. This is one of the many Unity books out on the 12 powers. She says, faith is that quality in us that enables us to look past appearances of lack, limitation, or difficulty, to take hold of a divine idea and believe in it, even though we do not see any evidence of it except in our minds. So when we think about healing through faith, prospering through faith, one of the thoughts that are stories that comes to my mind about especially healing is the story about the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Remember that story? Many of you are shaking your head or nodding your heads. And in that story, The backstory is the woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. So she had been losing blood for 12 years. So you can imagine that she probably felt pretty weak, losing lifeblood, life energy, right? And the doctors said they didn't have anything more they could do for her. She had been to every kind of doctor she could find. And she had spent all the money she had. And so she was in this state of desire to be healed, but desperate. And then she hears about this guy named Jesus who's walking about the land doing healings. And she believes that she can be healed if she can just get to him. And not only get to him, but she decides that if I just even touched a part of him, like maybe just even the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his clothing even, I will be healed. And so you can imagine the throngs of people, right? It's hot, it's dusty, people are crammed together, and she is trying to make her way in her weakened state to get to him, to touch him, so that she can be healed. But what's really interesting is, what's fabulous is she does touch the hem of his garment, she does reach out, she finds a way to get to him, and she is healed in that moment. But what's very significant about that story is not only that she's healed, but it's what Jesus says. The first thing he says is he wheels around and he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And his disciples are all around him going, "Everybody touched you. It's super crowded." And he's like, no. Somebody touched me and I felt the power move through me. And so she, you know, very meekly kind of stands up and says, "It was me, sir." And then he says something else that's really significant. So the first piece is there's a recognition that the power is moving out of him and to someone, right? And he is representing the Christ consciousness. So while this is an outer story about an outer man who's teaching and healing, it's really that consciousness that she's reaching for, right? That Christedness that she's reaching for. So she's reaching out in the story, but we reach in our reality. And so there's power in that. There's power that moves through us when that healing takes place. When we even make the reach, there's a power that moves. So that's what Jesus is testifying to. But then he says something really key. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. He wants to make a fine point, and he says it publicly in this very crowded space. He wants us all to know and to hear, I am not the one who healed you. Your faith healed you. It's the power inside of you that rose up and healed you. So how did she do it? Well, she desired to be healed for one. She could think of nothing else but to be healed. That was her complete focus. She mastered her focus like the wise queen in the Alice in Wonderland story, or part two of Alice in Wonderland story. And she, so that desire was there, and so was the belief. She believed she could be healed. She desired to be healed, she believed she could be healed, and then she reached for that Christ consciousness. And this is what we do, right? Reaching inside for that divine consciousness, for that raised up part of us, for that knowing part of us that we can be healed, that we can be restored to wholeness, or that whoever we're praying for can be. And so it's that kind of power that and practice that allows us to activate the power of faith to heal. The power of faith is closely aligned with the crown chakra. So if you're familiar with the chakras, the seven chakras, there are 12 powers of humankind, and there's definitely overlap. And so for the faith where it's located is if you drop down through the crown of the head, you'll find faith at the intersection, if you went through the what I like to call the first eye, and through the ears. And so at that intersection of those three places is the power of faith. And so there's an image, I think, for that, if you wouldn't mind putting that up, Jacob. There you go. So you can see that intersecting point where all the energy is, where all the yellow is, right? That's about where in the mind the power of faith is situated. And there's some that royal blue emanating color, that's the color that is associated with the power of faith. And so it's there in that place that we connect not only with the power spiritually, but also physically. There is the pineal gland in that spot, which is the gland that regulates circadian rhythms. It responds to light and dark. And so it also is responsible for sleep and mood stability and mental health in general. And so it's this power center that can bring forth all of that physically, mentally, spiritually, by us putting our attention there and grounding in that space. So if you struggle with sleep or mood issues, you could work with your power of faith to restore a sense of peace, perhaps, certainly getting better rest, and serenity by activating this power. What do I mean by activating it? Really just putting our attention on it. So through your time of meditation and prayer, you can work with the color royal blue in various ways. You can also visualize and just imagine that space, putting energy in it, using vibratory music, like Ben beautifully played the didgeridoo, that kind of listening to that kind of music or playing that kind of music even. All of those things can begin to activate these different energy centers in us, which is really what the 12 powers are. They're energy centers located in the body that have a color associated with them as well. So this center of faith has that, like I said, there's both in between the ears and in between the first eye. So there's a component of inner hearing and inner seeing when we work with our power of faith. And then there's that crown that's like where the divine ideas flow, right? Where the divine ideas just come down and stream through us. And so this inner hearing, I want to pick up that piece for a moment and talk a little bit about the disciple who represents faith. His name is Peter. And so Peter is the first disciple called, as is this first of the 12 powers summoned in us. It's sort of that, the crown, right? It's sort of the king or queen of our being. And so it's this place that we want to activate and spend a little bit of time and attention on so that we can use it for good, for healing, for prosperity. So in Simon Peter's story, he's Simon first. He's this simple fisherman that hears the call to follow Jesus and these teachings. And his name literally means hearing. Simon literally means hearing. And so he's hearing it, he responds to it, and he's listening. He's listening to the teachings at this deeper level, this inner hearing kind of level. And he's beginning to resonate. He's beginning to get it as he receives these teachings. It's suddenly, some things are making sense to him. And so then he begins to apply it and to practice it. And as he does so, his faith grows over time. It's through his ability to trust and to believe that it begins to grow. Peter is a really enthusiastic spiritual student. Remember, he's the one that when Jesus is walking across the water, Peter jumps out of the boat to walk across the water too. And he does for a little bit, and then he sinks because he doubts. Right? So it's when in the moment of doubt that he begins to sink, and then he does the same thing as the woman who reached for the hem. He reaches out, Jesus reaches out and lifts him back up. And so it's that. When we get off kilter, when we sink, when we doubt, when we forget, when we get into lack and limitation, it's that inreach again to that consciousness, to that knowing in us that remembers who we are. And that's from there that we can be buoyed up and we can be on solid spiritual ground once again to do whatever is ours to do. So, of course, Peter made mistakes. Simon Peter made mistakes like we all do, right? He, for example, fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when his spiritual teacher needed him the most. He resorted to violence and took out his sword to protect Jesus, which Jesus wanted nothing of, violence and weaponry. And he denies he even knew Jesus three times when he says there's no way he would ever do that. Anybody ever find yourself in those kinds of situations where you're on that path and you're moving forward and then you just sort of forget and you do something that you didn't think you'd ever do again and then maybe you do it again and again. You go, wow, I thought I was past this. I thought I had evolved beyond this. I didn't know I was still doing this, thinking this way, doing these behaviors. And so it's, that's where the love comes in. That's where these two powers can interplay with one another, where we can, be self-loving with ourselves, be kind to ourselves, be forgiving with ourselves and compassionate, and know that it is through that that we get lifted back up again to do what is ours to do. So Peter then is renamed because Jesus recognizes in him his faith, his growing faith, his evolving faith. And so he goes from being called Simon, the one who was listening, to Peter, the rock, as in a rock of faith. In Adventures of Resilience, the 12 Powers book by Sharon Connors, she tells a story about a man who had lost his leg in the Vietnam War. It was actually at the National Memorial Day concert in 2016, and the actor Gary Sinise was telling this man's story. His name is John J. Farley III. And John J. Farley III had pretty much given up. He'd given up on people, he'd given up on life, and given up on his dreams. And he just didn't feel like anybody really understood him or anybody was really listening. Until one day, a veteran did visit him and listened. And in that listening space, something was reignited inside of John. Some old dream was reignited inside of him. Hope, a ray of hope that turned into a greater sense of faith. Has that ever happened to you where somebody really listened to you, where you had that kind of space around you? There was a holding of space. This is what our prayer chaplains do, by the way. They hold space. They listen. They create that kind of field of energy around you so you can hear yourself. You know, sometimes we need that so that we can hear ourselves. And in our speaking about our pain and our struggle and our desires and our dreams, suddenly we begin to come alive again and see that there is hope, there is light, there is possibility, and our faith gets reactivated through that process. It's a kind of inner listening, even though we might be, you know, sitting together in the outer world, because the one who is listening is creating that kind of space by listening from within. They're not listening to tell you how something like that happened to them the other day. It's not autobiographical listening. And it's not the kind of listening where they can't wait for you to finish so that they can tell you something else. It's not that kind of listening. It's just an open space, kind of meditative gift. That's what it is. It's a gift. And so we can give that kind of gift to one another, that kind of listening to each other that can help reignite faith in someone else. And we can give it to ourselves when we listen in that way. What happened with John Farley is that just because somebody listened to him in that way, he remembered the dream that he had to become an attorney and help other veterans. And he did that. And then he went on to become a federal judge. And his life's work was to help other vets cut through all the red tape so that they could get the help they needed more immediately. Had somebody not listened to John, he might not have even continued to live. And look at all the people he helped. Sometimes we just need to be that for each other, a space of faith that can allow us to find that within ourselves again. We're prospered when we connect with our sense of purpose in life, right? We're prospered when we can express our creativity. We're prospered when we can serve others. All of that brings joy. All that lifts up our energy and anybody else with whom we are serving or interacting. And so that is faith behind it that is fueling our prosperity. We all have heart's desires. And then we tend, most of us, to sometimes come in touch with that self-talk that is negative, self-limiting, and full of lack, right? Or to notice it in the world around us and to enter into that kind of energy. But we just need to remember what the Queen demonstrated for Alice of how to master our focus by thinking for 30 minutes a day about impossible things. Maybe you can think of 6 impossible things before breakfast, or maybe even 1. What if we all just thought of 1 impossible thing before breakfast every day? What a difference that might make in our lives. So Sharon tells this story about her brother, Jimmy, who he was in his 20s, probably. He had a friend, and they were traveling around the world. And they started traveling by motorcycle, and they were having so much fun. And they, back then, we wrote letters, you know, or sent postcards. They would write or send postcards back to the family about what was happening. And one day, Sharon and Jimmy's parents got a call that Jimmy had been in an accident, and he was paralyzed. And they said that he probably wouldn't walk again. This young, vital, adventurous young man probably wouldn't walk again. But here's what happened. Jimmy didn't believe it. He refused to believe that he wouldn't walk again. His parents refused to believe it. His sisters refused to believe it. They immediately held a prayer vigil for him and their family, and they all continued to pray, seeing him whole and well and healthy and walking again. His father worked tirelessly to get him home, to get renewed medical attention nearby, and his parents cared for him at home after some of those treatments. When Sharon flew to Tampa to see her brother, she was so surprised when she got off the plane and he was there and he was standing there. And then he walked toward her with a slight limp to greet her. Jimmy did walk again. Jimmy is still walking. And it's all through that power of faith that can heal. Faith develops first in the mind, so we need to consider what we feed our minds. What kind of food are we feeding our minds? Is it spiritual food? Is it peaceful? Is it joyful? Is it uplifting? Or is it something then that we fed our mind and now we've got to overcome that to get to where we want to be? What seemingly impossible things can we think about? Once you think of something, hold your focus on it. Once you have a desire in mind and you something that you want to manifest or create, some kind of healing or prosperity that you want to experience in your life, and you have that in your mind, hold it there. Keep your steady focus on it. See it and hear it from the inside. Open yourself to divine ideas of how you're going to get there, how you're going to make that so. And allow yourself to dwell there. Maybe speak it as well. Put some clothes around those thoughts. Let them to begin to become more and more close to physical manifestation. All of those things help us then co-create, right? That's how we co-create what it is we desire, or what it is that seems to drop in out of the blue, so to speak. And suddenly we have this great idea. We don't know where it came from, or we have this knowing. We do know where it came from, obviously. It came from spirit. But, you know, it does seem like it literally drops out of the sky through that space within us that is open and receptive in that moment to receive it. Whether it comes that way or it comes up from a desire in our hearts, either way, as we focus, as we see it and hear it and know it and speak it, it can come into fruition for us. When you notice that thoughts like but and only or if or when or impossible come forward and creep in as they likely will, you can just notice those. Maybe even say, hello, you're welcome for this moment, but I'm going to need to dismiss you in a moment because that's not what we're doing right now. One of my favorite things to do when my mind feels really busy is to just imagine that there's a little doorway in my mind, and I just open it up, and I usher out all the guests, you know, the conversations, the people, the project. Thank you very much for coming. Yes. Oh, yes, it was very sweet. Yeah, thank you. We had a great time, you know, and now it's time to go. And then what's left is nothing, right? Beautiful nothingness there in that mind for a few moments of complete peace and openness. And you can just, you know, there may be something that wants to come in. Let it be light. Let it be light imbued with that beautiful royal blue color of faith. And let it just fill your mind, just that. Just the energy of spirit imbued with that light, that color. And let that flood through your being. This is how we build our muscle of faith in our mind, all of these ways, a sense of knowing in our hearts. This is how we step into a renewed lived reality, is by doing these simple things, mastering our focus like the queen. Within you is the power to move mountains. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. If you've never seen one, that's very, very tiny. And that's all we need to move mountains, to heal and to prosper in every way. That's all we need is faith. So let's call it forth now and begin to work with this magical power that will prosper us and heal us beyond measure. I want to invite Ben back up to play a little more didgeridoo in a moment as we activate this power of faith once again. So I invite you to close your eyes if you wish and to bring your attention to that energy center in the middle of your mind that's between your ears, through your first eye, and down through the crown chakra at that place of convergence. And just breathing into this space for a few moments, putting your full attention there. If you have a particular desire in mind today and that's bubbling up in your heart, place it here in this space. This is what I'm moving toward. This is what I'm bolstering my faith to help me co-create. Let's allow the vibration of this instrument from the Aboriginal people, this gift that was given to rouse the spirit. Let it rouse the power of faith in us. Just sitting with this energy for a moment. I invite you to speak with me our affirmation for today. Together, I am healed and prospered by my innate power of faith.